The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the Dr. Taz Show, and today you guys are in for a treat. I have the pleasure of introducing Melissa Hartwig from The Whole 30. She is the founder and innovator of The Whole 30 program, which I know all of you have heard about and many of you have probably tried. She is joining today on my show to talk a little bit about it and about her journey. I met Melissa at one of the Mind Body Green conferences back in the summer. And she's just as delightful in person as she is when you see her on some of these TV shows and you read about her as well. So welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taz. It's really nice to speak with you again.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm so honored to have you on the show. A little bit about you. I'm sure everyone knows who you are. But just in case, Melissa Hartwig is a certified sports nutritionist who specializes in helping people change their relationship with food and create lifelong healthy habits. She's the co-creator of The Whole 30, the New York Times best-selling author of The Whole 30, It Starts With Food, Food Freedom Forever, and The Whole 30 Cookbook. And I know that you guys have seen her on any number of morning shows, Dr. Oz, Today Show, NBC, all of that good stuff. So we're going to get right into talking to Melissa and picking her brain, because we're going to try to make the most of our time that we have with her. How's that?
I think it sounds great. I'm ready.
You've got a new cookbook out. I want to jump right into that before we go anywhere else. So I know you have a new cookbook that came out in December. It's The Whole 30 Cookbook. Tell us a little bit about that and how that project began and what you're hoping to see happen with that.
Yeah, so The Whole 30 Cookbook is our second recipe book. So we released The Whole 30 in April 2015. And that's kind of your like one-stop shopping, how to do The Whole 30. All of your planning and preparation tips, an extensive FAQ, some really basic cooking instructions, and over 100 really simple recipes. Because The Whole 30, we discovered, really teaches people how to cook. So many people came to us and said, you know, before I started my Whole 30, I wasn't cooking. And my response to that was, well, like, how were you eating if you weren't cooking? But, you know, convenience food, processed food, microwave stuff, takeout, going out to eat. So people learned to cook through The Whole 30, and they cooked their way through that book and really built their kitchen confidence and learned to appreciate natural fresh flavors and felt like a culinary rock star making their own mayo. It was such a big part of their Whole 30 success. The cookbook came about because people said, okay, I've been cooking from these really basic recipes. The food is delicious. It's really rewarding, but like, I'm ready for something new. You know, use some different ingredients, maybe some new cooking techniques. Throw some new spices in there. Like, I'm really ready to take my Whole 30 up a notch. So we developed the Whole 30 Cookbook, which gives you 150 all new recipes designed to really take your Whole 30 to the next level with different kinds of cuisines and flavor profiles and ingredients. So it's kind of the next step in people's Whole 30 journey.
You're making me salivate as you speak, because I love to cook. I love playing with flavors and spices. I would love to be in the kitchen more than I am. But I love that term you use. I love the whole idea of kitchen confidence, because food begins, as you and I both know, food begins is really our medicine. Food is medicine. And without it, it's really hard to shift the needle on your health very much. And, you know, I've told stories so many times about patients coming through with a condition and, you know, doing everything else except the food or except the diet and not really seeing any kind of dramatic shift until they really buckle down and got that food part right. But the biggest hurdle, as I'm sure you know, is getting back in the kitchen, navigating that space and understanding how to make it fit in with the lifestyle that we all have today, where we're busy and we're running and, you know, we're not in the home necessarily all that much. So I think that any great cookbook is exciting. A Whole 30 cookbook is even more exciting because we know it's going to sort of stay within our dietary principles. But let's talk about the Whole 30 for a second. I think most people know about the Whole 30. I don't want to assume that everybody knows all the details, but I want to know about how you stumbled on the Whole 30 and how that was created and kind of what you've seen in the process of it launching and becoming this huge success that it's become.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing started back in 2009. I co-created the program with my co-founder. His name is Dallas. And he had been doing some research into how certain foods impact inflammatory conditions in the body, specifically rheumatoid arthritis, because his sister had RA. So he was doing this research and came across this really incredible, these really incredible pieces of research that suggested that some foods have inflammatory properties in the body, and that removal of these foods can improve symptoms in rheumatoid arthritis. Well, mm-hmm. he had had this chronic shoulder tendinitis for a lot, like more than a year, and he's a physical therapist, and he couldn't heal his own shoulder. So he thought, well, if these foods can impact inflammatory conditions like RA, I wonder if removing them will help my shoulder. So he pulled out some of the stuff he had been eating in his diet, and lo and behold, his shoulder healed. No more pain.
Love
completely
it.
Pain-free within 6 weeks. So that really got our attention. So we were sitting around after a really grueling exercise session, kicking around some ideas that had been thrown out by our friend Rob Wolf, who's another paleo mm-hmm. kind of leader. And Della said to me, you know, what if we did this super squeaky, clean, 30-day pull out all the potentially inflammatory foods from our diet? Like, what if we did that? I wonder what would happen. And I was literally eating Thin Mints right out of the sleeve at the time.
Uh-oh.
Because
I had
exercised and I deserved them. And that was kind of how I thought about food. And I was like, yeah, sure, we should do that. I would totally be up for that. When do you want to start? And he said, how about right now? And I put my Thin Mints down. And we jumped into what was to become the very first Whole 30 back in April 2009. And we both had such different but equally dramatic experiences, life-changing results with this protocol, that I decided to share about it on my personal training blog. So I wrote it up and I said, hey, here's what we did for 30 days. Here's what I experienced. Does anyone want to try it? And a couple hundred people said, yeah, I would give it a try. And when they started reporting back amazing, life-changing, but remarkably similar results, I kind of knew we were onto something.
Wow. So the Whole 30, the premise of the Whole 30 is to take out inflammatory foods over this 30-day period of time. How is it different, you know, kind of maybe delineate for us, how is it different from the Mediterranean diet, which is supposed to be anti-inflammatory, paleo, which many people have jumped on board on, you know, as well. How is it different from some of these other, you know, diets that may have been its predecessor? What's the big difference or the big change?
Yeah, it's really based on loosely on the framework of a paleo diet, which isn't that far off from a general Mediterranean diet as well, focusing on heart healthy fats and eliminating processed foods. But the Whole 30 has a very specific purpose. We specifically target your health, your habits, and your emotional relationship with food. So to that end, you'll find some things included in the Whole 30 that aren't generally often considered paleo, like green beans or snow peas or even white potatoes. But we exclude things that are generally considered paleo, like natural sugars or paleo recreations like pancakes or muffins, because they don't address your emotional relationship with food in the most effective way. So, you know, because our plan is very, very specific in targeting not just the physical stuff going on, but your cravings and your emotional connection with food and your maybe dysfunctional relationship with food, we have some pretty specific rules in place to help you look at that as well.
I want to dial into that for a second, because I think that's so powerful, and that's often, you know, the key that either turns the engine on or off. So when you're saying things like pancakes or muffins don't help us shift the needle on our emotional relationship to food, what specifically are you referring to? And when you talk about rules that sort of dial into that whole piece of, you know, the connection to food and how we make food choices, give us an example. What are some of those rules?
Sure. So there are two rules specific to addressing your habits and your emotional relationship with food. The first rule is that you're not allowed to recreate junk food, baked goods, or treats with technically compliant ingredients. So you can make a pancake, a muffin, a cookie, a tortilla, bread with technically compliant Whole 30 ingredients. But if you are trying to change your habits and your emotional relationship with food, and by that I mean the way that you use food as punishment, as reward, to self-soothe, to relieve comfort, to relieve boredom or anxiety, to comfort yourself, to show love, all of these ways that we use food that are not contributing to a healthy relationship with that food, where we start eating and we can't stop eating, and we're reaching for these things automatically, and we're mindlessly consuming, and we feel out of control. And if you trip along your 30 days on your Whole 30, continuing to eat pancakes and muffins and cookies and brownies and chips and ice cream and bread, at the end of your 30 days, your brain doesn't know the difference between an almond flour pancake and a regular pancake. It just knows, when I had a hard day at work, I came home and binged on chips or ice cream. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, chips cooked in coconut oil or your normal grocery store potato chips. The point is, potato chips are potato chips from a psychological perspective. And we really want to change that. So we just don't let you do it.
Huh. I love that. So that in itself is such powerful information, because I think a lot of people in the health and wellness space, or as they start to enter that space, you know, they hear, oh, I need to be gluten-free. And then they go for all the gluten-free substitutes, or I'm going to go paleo, but then they're doing a lot of alternative junk food. You know, it just may not have certain ingredients in it. So I think that's such a great, great point. Like, I'm even guilty, to be honest, of grabbing anything with salt when I'm stressed. You know, that's the whole adrenal connection. So I might grab chips in a weak moment, but that's my stress response. So how then, if you set those rules in place, how, if you're emotionally vulnerable, how do people doing the Whole 30 not break those rules? How do they stay consistent? What have you noticed the most?
So it's a couple things. The first is that because the program is making physiological changes in your body, and these changes happen really fast, like we're talking about, within just a week or two, you'll notice improvement in things like blood sugar regulation, hormonal balance, your mood will stabilize, your taste buds will actually change, so that, you know, you'll be able to appreciate the natural flavors found in fresh fruits and vegetables, and their, you know, the delicious sweetness of an apple. Because we're supporting this change from the inside out, it's not like all you have to do is rely on willpower to not eat these sweet treats and baked goods, right? We're not saying, like, just white knuckle your way through it and use up all your willpower. We're going to help you kind of by changing the foundation such that those foods are actually, like, less appealing in the first place. So that's one way. The second way we do it is with an enormous amount of community support. There's so much planning and preparation guidelines. There's so much support through our forum, through our social media feed, through our books. You're never going at it alone. And most of the time, what I like to say is, like, you know, you come home after a really difficult day, or you're upset, or you're anxious, or you're lonely. You're not looking for a cookie. You're looking for a connection. You want to do something that makes you feel like you're treating yourself, you're soothing, you're comforting, and you're connecting to actually make you feel better. So in place of automatically reaching for that food, which you're not going to when you're on the Whole 30, we offer you a number of ways to actually connect with another human being. Talk about what you're feeling, examine what you're feeling, examine kind of why you're reaching for this food in the first place, and find another way to give yourself the same feel-good reward without the less healthy food.
That is amazing. So, and that connection, again, is some of the resources and the tools you guys have created and built, correct?
Yeah, we've got, you know, more than 2.4 million photos, hashtag Whole30 on Instagram alone. Our community is enormous, and it's incredibly active. And I stay incredibly closely connected to the community. I'm answering questions and, you know, saying good job and helping people along in their journey, because the more connected they can stay to Whole 30 and our community and this new idea, this new growth mindset that they're a healthy person living a healthy lifestyle, the more successful they'll be, not only in their Whole 30, but in life after their Whole 30, where they take these healthy habits they've learned and actually turn it into a lifestyle.
So for my listeners out there, if you're sitting on the edge and you're wondering, should I do this? Should I not do this? How am I going to get through this? Melissa sounds like she's got a whole host of resources and tools to really push you off the edge there and allow you to jump in and maybe change your life. I think anytime we change food, the effects that come after are amazing. And it's tiny things, I always say, from I feel better to I look better to I can wear different clothes or whatever the superficial things are, to much deeper things like I can think better, I choose better jobs, I choose better partners, I treat my children better, I have more energy, I'm more creative. And the most compelling, and this will sound strange, but Melissa, I think you're with me on this, but the most compelling thing anybody has told me, one of my patients who is an intuitive and she's deeply connected, She was like, I don't understand, Dr. Taz. I don't get this. Ever since we've been doing all this work together, she's like, my intuitive powers are going crazy. I see things that I've never seen before. But only telling that story, because whatever your powers are, they're heightened, they're enhanced, they're magnified 1,000 times when we get the food part right. And so I can't stress how important this is. And if Melissa with the Whole 30 sounds like you guys have an amazing program which can really support people in making that jump and making that leap to do something, because we understand that the kitchen is intimidating and we completely understand that food preparation seems like you need a whole degree the way it's portrayed on TV now to really even prepare a meal. You know, we understand that all of that is so scary, but having resources, having community, having connection, you know, is really the key. And, you know, this might be the answer. I mean, would you not agree, Melissa? I mean, I think this, how did this become so popular? Is that how people felt, that they really actually had somebody holding their hand and had support? I want to know how it grew the way it grew.
It grew incredibly organically. We've never done any marketing or any advertising. It grew because, well, for two reasons. One, because it works. The program works so well to change so many lives. And what happens is that you do it and you feel amazing. You feel better than you've ever felt in your whole life, and your self-confidence is through the roof. And as you just said, there's no area of your life that this will not spill over into and make better. And other people look at you and say, what have you been doing? Your skin is glowing. Your energy is infectious. You're smiling. You're happy all the time. You've clearly lost some weight. Like, what have you been doing? And that's how the program grows. But it also grows because I think it's the community that we have built. You know, people don't want to diet. They are tired of the restriction and the willpower and the needless sort of isolation to get through their diet and lose a couple pounds only to regain it later on and feel like a total failure. They don't want to do that. They want a true life change. And doing the Whole 30 with the community that we've built and the kind of support that we offer makes people feel like they are a part of something bigger than themselves, and they stick around long after their Whole 30 is over to stay motivated in their new healthy habits, to help new people through the program, you know, to help us create resources. Like, it has actually turned into a movement. It's definitely more than a diet.
Well, that was going to be another question. What happens after the Whole 30? What do you find your clients doing after the fact? What do they keep? What do they dump? Where do they kind of balance out to? What is their new normal?
Yeah, and that's a really important point, is that, you know, the rules of the Whole 30 are only designed to run for that 30-day period. It's a self-experiment where you eliminate and then reintroduce. And in the reintroduction, which is very clearly spelled out and laid out for you day by day, that's where you discover how certain foods work for you. So the idea isn't you'll never eat these foods ever again, or, oh, these foods are bad, they should be out of your diet. It's, these foods are really commonly problematic, and I don't know how they work for you. So you should pull them out and reintroduce them and make that decision for yourself. So after the Whole 30, there's an entire book called Food Freedom Forever that is dedicated to how to take what you've learned on the program and turn it into a lifetime of healthy habits. But you get to decide, based on your elimination and reintroduction, which foods are worth it for you, and when and how often and how much you want to eat them, so that your diet feels really healthy and really sustainable and really fun and delicious and rewarding, but that you're always on track for looking and feeling exactly as good as you want to look and feel.
Well, I love that. It sounds like it's a plan not just for 30 days, but it's a plan for even after the fact. And now with the new cookbook, even more recipes to experiment and play with and find really, truly what fits for you. Melissa, what's next for you? What's on the horizon? You've had this, you created this movement, you created a group. Kind of what's next?
So we're hard at work on releasing the Whole 30 coaching certification program. So for people who have been, you know, maybe it's doctors, it's registered dietitians, it's all kinds of different healthcare practitioners, gym owners and trainers, for people who have been helping people through the Whole 30 or recommending the Whole 30 to their patients, we want to connect with them on an official level and basically create these Whole 30 coaching groups nationwide and worldwide so that you can come get the same kind of support in person in your local community. So we'll be rolling that out in the summertime. And then I'm already hard at work on some new books. Our community really loves recipes, and we want to continue to give you even more resources to help support your Whole 30 journey and beyond. So we'll be working on those, and we'll have an announcement on those probably within the next month or two.
Wonderful. I'm going to have to get you in the kitchen with me to do some of our kitchen cure videos at some point. So we absolutely love being in the kitchen.
That would be fun.
Parting words. Yeah, we would love it. So parting words to our listeners, you know, when they are thinking through, you know, making decisions, changing their lives, moving forward, trying to be the best they can be. I often say, what is your advice to them? You know, there's so many different ways to think about you, Melissa. And I'm just saying this quite honestly. There's, you know, you as an innovator, there's you as an entrepreneur, there's you as a health and wellness expert. You know, when you merge all those different skill sets together and you're thinking about the women and the men who listen to this show, what is your advice to them? What are maybe two or three parting thoughts to them that really have propelled you to the position you're in today?
I really think that, you know, if you're looking to change your health, push the reset button on your habits and your emotional relationship with food, or just, you know, something is just not, you're just not where you want to be. You don't feel as good as you want to be. You don't look as good as you want to look, and something needs to change. I always, always recommend you start with your food. It's where everything begins. And like I said, because food is so emotional, and so you've got this longstanding history with your food, feeling like you're in control of your food for the first time in a long time is such a powerful experience. It will spill over into every other area of your life. And there's never been a better time to change your life than right now. It's never been easier to do the Whole30. There have been so many resources created. There are so many Whole30 approved kind of convenience foods like salad dressings and condiments to help you on your journey. We have such a robust community and so welcoming. I just really think that now is the perfect time to take the step, commit to the program, go tell someone right now, I am starting the Whole30, and then get, you know, the next 30 days in line to really see how amazing you can look and feel just by changing the food you put on your plate.
I cannot agree more. Food is medicine. Think food first. Whole30 might be a good first stepping stone. Melissa, if they want to learn more about the Whole30 or about your new cookbook, where should our listeners go?
Everything is available at whole30.com. So WHOLE and the number 30. The entire program is available for free on the website, along with a huge number of free resources. And that's where you can get all the information about the four books we have supporting the program as well.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us. This has absolutely been a treat. I look forward to having you on again in the future and maybe getting you in the kitchen with me as well. For everyone out there, please remember, food is your medicine. It changes not only your physical health, it changes your emotional health. It impacts the decisions you make in the future, and it really can rechart the course of your life. So get motivated, get involved, and maybe even start the Whole30. Thanks for listening.